We want to welcome everyone this morning. Pray that you have had a good weekend, and this is the first day of the week. We're starting a new week that the Lord will minister to you today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, may you be exalted this day. May your Son be high and lifted up. May every word that you have for your people this morning be planted deep within them. Just pray that your word would produce much fruit in the lives of your people. Give us ears to hear this morning, that we may hear what you have to say. Father, I pray that you would give us hearts to receive, and Lord, that we would be obedient. As for me, Lord, I am reminded, Lord, that I am but a servant in the house of the living God. May you be exalted. Only Jesus. May you be seen and heard today, Lord. Let it be very evident that I am but a servant and that you are Lord, King, and Master. We so desire you. So desire to be in that place with you. And take your word, Lord. Let it go forth. We desire living water and manna from heaven. Have your way with me and with these that are gathered here. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I talked to Mark last night, and we prayed together, and my nephew was married, and he and his wife had planned a honeymoon to France until all the riots, and so they've changed their plans, and they're going to be leaving Monday to go to Italy. And he said that everything went well without a hitch, so praise the Lord for that. And I was telling Mike and them that this has been interesting for me. And God just always uses family things to show me who He is. And I said, you know, that apartment is one lonely place. That it is so empty. And because usually you know that it's me that goes and Mark stays. And I was thinking about that, and the Lord reminded me that, you know, that Jesus is waiting for us. He's preparing, and He's at home waiting for us, and we're out doing His business. So we're busy, and a lot of times we don't think. Sometimes we're so busy doing the work of the kingdom that maybe our heart is not longing for home. Because I know that my heart has been longing for my husband to return so that we could share that place together and it not be so empty and so lonely. So I'm thinking that the Lord is longing for us to be with Him. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The title of the message today is Where are you today? Where are you today? Since I've known about this for months, I've been praying off and on, Lord, what would you have for your people? And you know, I don't know about you, but I like to be prepared. I like to be prepared because I'm not one of these people that can just get up on Sunday morning and an hour before the service have a message. So I've been thinking the Lord would give it to me months in advance. So I've been thinking of all these, and I've been making notes, and, oh, yeah, maybe that's it. Oh, yeah, maybe that's it. And Mark said, well, what are you going to preach on? I'm like, well, I don't know, maybe this. And so yesterday I came down here to eat some carpet. Lord, what? give me direction, Lord. You know I can't handle it Sunday morning. And the Lord said, where are you today? And the Holy Spirit just overwhelmed me. And as I was praying, I know where I am today. I'm walking in grace and I'm walking in mercy. And if there's anyone who can tell you about grace and mercy, I am the one to tell you about grace and mercy. But that's where I am today. And so let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. I'm actually only going to read the last part of the verse where it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In some translations, the word behold says see. See, now is the accepted time. See, now is the day of salvation. The word behold is an imperative. It's a command not to be avoided. It's a command. It says, now, behold, now is the accepted time. And the word salvation, as I looked it up, salvation, and I know we've heard this before, means wholeness. But it also means rescue. It means safety, safe, saving, and health. So if you read it, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of rescue. Behold, now is the day of safety. Behold, now is the day of saving. Behold, now is the day of health. Behold, now is the day for you to be saved. When Paul was penning these words, remember, this is not just Paul writing, but this is the Holy Spirit directing him and directing him until he returns, that these words are not just for the Corinthian church, but therefore this church, and therefore the body of Christ. Paul is saying, now is the time. Now is the time of salvation. Not tonight, not tomorrow, not next week, next month, next year, but now. God has appointed today. Isn't that amazing? That the God of the universe, the God who created everything, He made appointments. And He appointed today to be the day of salvation. In Acts chapter 4, which is one of my favorite scriptures in the whole world, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Nor is there rescue, nor is there safety, nor is there health in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no salvation in any other. And I'm not sure how many roads you've traveled down looking for that salvation. How many different roads you've traveled down looking for that rescue. How many different roads you've traveled down looking for that health, or that saving, or how many names you've looked under. What name am I talking about? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. What name? Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the name. That's the name that Paul is talking about. That's the name that Luke is talking about in the book of Acts, where he recorded that there's no other name. It's the name of Jesus. Jesus the Christ. In the New Testament, we say Christ. That's Greek. And in the Old Testament, they said the Messiah, which is the Christ. And it means the anointed. And anointed means as king, priest, or saint. So what name is it? It's Jesus, Christ is not his last name. He's Jesus the Christ. He's Jesus the Messiah. He's Jesus the Anointed. And it's in that name. There's no other place. And you know, you may think, well, I've already believed in that for salvation. But he is the one who rescues us. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about how he rescues us? And he's the one that saves us. And he's the one that gives us the health, our wholeness. When we come to him, he's just not saving us from hell. He's making us whole. And maybe you don't feel whole today. Where are you today? Have you heard of Jesus, the name which saves? Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Are you blind? Are you blind? If you'll notice with blind Bartimaeus, he had heard of Jesus. He'd heard of Jesus, and he had himself situated on the road where Jesus was coming in. And why was he there? Because he had heard what Jesus could do. And he was blind, and he had a need. Isn't it amazing that there are those all around us? There are those who are walking with Jesus, and they know what Jesus can do. And they know blind Bartimaeus. He's probably been around all of these years, and he's been blind. And he's there by the road waiting. But if you'll notice, these folks want him to be quiet. They don't want him crying out, Have mercy on me! They don't want blind Bartimaeus to be quiet. They don't want him to disturb Jesus. Where are you at today? Are you blind? Do you know someone who is blind? And are you telling them to be quiet? Are you being a hindrance? Or are you taking them to the Lord? Are you saying, no, just be quiet. Sit there. Stay clothed. If you look, it says he threw aside his garment. His garment as a blind beggar. As a blind beggar, someone who could not rise up. If you notice that there are folks who try to keep you quiet, they've seen you this way for so long that they're content. They're content to let you stay that way, and they're content to keep walking the way they walk. I think that we get a mindset that Jesus can't even help you. You know, You've been this way, Bartimaeus. There's just no need in crying out. Yes, I know Jesus has healed this one, and I know that Jesus has raised the dead over here, but I think where you're concerned, you just stay where you are, and you just be quiet. But blind Bartimaeus had heard. He had heard. And when Jesus was coming by, he cried out. Where are you at today? Are you crying out? Are you refusing to be quiet like Bartimaeus? Are you going to cast aside those garments and rise up? And so when Jesus says to you, What do you want me to do for you? You know, Jesus wants to know, what do you want him to do for you? When we were singing that song, I See the Lord, I was thinking about that. And I don't know about you, but there are certain songs that we sing, and maybe they just stir you a certain way, or I'd like to believe it's the anointing on the song that was given to the songwriter. And you just see yourself as a child running with arms stretched out, running to Jesus. I think about when Savannah, my heart just overflows when this little bubble of joy comes in. And she says, Grandma, Grandma, Grandma. But not only does she do that, she throws out her arms and she runs to me. She just runs to me with those arms stretched out, because she knows that I'm going to receive her and pull her in, and that I love her. Do you run to Jesus that way? That's what he desires. The enemy of your soul would keep you blind so that you would not see. That you would not see that he's there waiting for you. That he desires. He doesn't desire for you to be quiet. He desires for you to come and to tell him what it is that you want from him. What is it that you want from him? It takes faith. It takes faith to be able to cast the garments aside and to run to Jesus. It doesn't take any faith to stay where you are. All it does is take listening to the voice of the enemy to stay bound where you are. So are you blind today? Are you blind today? This was the day of salvation for Bartimaeus. This was the day of rescue for him. This was the day of safety for him. This was the day of help for him. And he cried out, and Jesus heard him, and he answered him. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. And Jesus is the name. He's the name. There's no other name out there. There are a lot of names out there. If you read and you listen to TV, everyone has a different opinion. There's only one name, and there's only one way. Where are you at today? Let's turn to Luke chapter 7. Maybe you're not blind. In one sense, if we don't know the Lord, we are blind. But perhaps you're like the sinful woman. Let's read verse 37 and 38. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. You know, we're all sinners, but they call this woman a sinful woman. Perhaps you are, and you know it. And not only do you know it, but the whole of the city knows it. Everyone knows it. You have this label. Everyone knows that no one wants to touch you. No one wants to be around you because they know all about you. That you've heard of Jesus. And you need rescue. You need rescue and you need safety. You need salvation. Today he's here. He's here for you. You bring everything. She brought everything that she had. She brought everything that she had. And I'm not just talking about this flask of fragrant oil that she brought. I've heard sermons about the cost of the oil. But she came into a room full of Pharisees. She came into a room full of men where she was not welcome, where she was looked down upon. She needed to be rescued. She needed to be saved. And she had heard that name, Jesus. And she entered in. And she came in. She didn't come running with total abandonment, but she came in with what she had, and it was her sin. She came in with a heart of repentance, and she fell at His feet. She fell at His feet. She was defiled. She brought back defilement. Sometimes we think we have to get everything right. We can't bring defilement to the Lord because He's so holy. But remember, on the cross, He took that defilement so that we don't have to carry it. You notice that Jesus was sitting and He did not move. When she came in, Jesus didn't move. He let her come. And He received her repentance. He received her tears. He acknowledged her by not moving. He was waiting. He was waiting. You know, we talk about divine appointment. It was a divine appointment. It was her day. It was the day of her salvation. And Jesus was waiting. Just like blind Bartimaeus, it was the day of his salvation. And Jesus was coming down that road. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't because it was the only way. It was because God knew Bartimaeus needed to be saved. And Jesus came. Sometimes we think that, oh, I just happened to be there. You don't just happen to be there. God makes divine appointments. And this was the day of her salvation. And she came. This was her appointed day. Repentance was given and she responded. She responded on her knees with much weeping at her state. Not at the faults of the men. Not what they were thinking. But her great need. Her great need. Jesus heard her and He received her. If you think about blind Bartimaeus, he was beside the road and Jesus is coming with His entourage, with His disciples. He's not by Himself. It wasn't a quiet calling out. It says in the original when He cried out for mercy that He... He said, Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Now, how many of us cry out to Jesus like that? How many of us are very stoic? How many of us are so stoic that we don't want to cry out? We don't want to make a scene. How many of us are so prideful that we can't come and weep at the feet of the Lord? The only thing I regret about cutting my hair is that I thought, I would like to have long hair to wash Jesus' feet. I would love to have long hair to wash the feet of Jesus. But who knows, when I get to heaven, you know, I might have long hair. I don't know. But this was the day of her salvation, and she did not stand back because of what people might think. In verse 47, He says, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. And but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then He said to her, He says, your sins are forgiven. In verse 50, then He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. We know that without faith we cannot please the Lord. Are you blind? Are you like the sinful woman? Where are you at today? That's what the Lord wants to know. He wants to know, where are you at today? Can you say that I'm walking in grace and I'm walking in mercy? Now, I know I was thinking about that, debating that with the Lord. I don't know if you do that, but even in my prayer, I'm just like, Lord, I don't understand that because I'm walking in grace and mercy. Even when I was His enemy, I was walking in grace and mercy. See, Even before you even come, you're walking in grace and mercy. You just don't even know it. You're too arrogant to know it. You're too lost to know it. Because without His grace and without His mercy, you would be dead. And you would be separated from Him eternally. But because of that. Now, you know what? Maybe blind Bartimaeus doesn't apply to you, and maybe the sinful woman doesn't apply to you, but let's look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 27 through 29. And this is about the demoniac. And when he stepped out on the land, there he met a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness." Maybe you're tormented. Maybe you're tormented in your thought life. Where are you at today? Are you tormented in your thought life? Are you like this? Do you realize it's the enemy of God? It's the enemy of your soul that keeps you under guard. He puts you in shackles and he keeps you under guard. He binds you with chains. And not only that, he causes you to live among the dead. And he torments you constantly in your mind. Where are you at today? God's enemy does not want you to call on the name of Jesus, because in that name there's safety and there's rescue and there's health. When should you call on Jesus? Tomorrow? Maybe it'll be a more convenient time and you could be alone. Tonight when you go home and you're alone and there's no one around. Let's do it then. Let's not cry out. Let's not lose our dignity. Maybe next week. Maybe next month. The Lord tells us that today is the day of salvation, and you're not promised tomorrow. Even when we have a newborn baby and we're making all these plans and all these dreams and we see their future. Only God knows the future. They're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised another minute. The goodness of God is that you're here today. The goodness of God is that He's speaking to you. The goodness of God is that He says, "Today, I'll receive you. If you're blind, I will open your eyes." If you have been living a life where you are defiled and no one wants to come near you, I will receive you and I will cleanse you. And if your mind is tormented, if the enemy has had his way in your mind and in your emotions and had you bound, I will release you. Hear what the Spirit is saying to you. Don't leave the same way that you came in. The Lord wants to know. I believe I have a sure word from God. He says, "Where are you today? Where are you today?" God's asking you, if you can hear my voice, He's asking you, "Where are you today?" Sometimes we can't even call out. If you'll notice that the blind Bartimaeus called out, and the sinful woman, she was able to walk and to enter in to where he was and to fall on her knees. But if you'll notice that this man was so tormented, that God appointed a time to go to this man to deliver him. He was so tormented, he could not even make that decision. He could not even make that decision. He was so tormented. I don't know what you think of this God. I don't know what your opinion of this Jesus is. But he's so great, I don't have the words. I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't even have the words to tell them. I don't have the words to tell them. Where are you today? Because he's ready and he's willing and he's able. If you give it to him. If you not go out the same way that you came in. Jesus comes to us. How many of us think that we came to Jesus? He comes to us. Because in the rebellion of man, we would not go to him. I can just tell you. I don't care who you are or how good you think you are. You would not go to him because your heart is so wicked. And you're so deceived by the enemy. But Jesus comes to us. He comes to us because he sees us. He sees our frailty. And I'm so thankful to Jesus. If you look at verse 35, it says, Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Isn't that amazing? Now this man had been living among the tombs. They had put guards, they had put shackles and chains on him. They wanted to keep him there. And Jesus comes and he sets him free and he's in his right mind. And there is no rejoicing. There is no rejoicing. Because we were accustomed to Joe being this way. We were accustomed. It was normal. It was a normal way of life. Now you come in and you've done this thing. Now, You've done this great miracle in our midst. You've turned this man's life upside down. He's not the same person. He is a new creation. Now, how are we supposed to continue status quo? How can we continue to do things the way we've always done things? Now you've changed everything. That's what God does when he gives you sight. That's what God does when he delivers you. He turns everything upside down and people aren't comfortable with it. They're not comfortable when you're not behaving the same way. When you're not bouncing off the walls or acting like a crazy person, they're not comfortable. And so they're afraid because then something might be required of them. There might be a change in store for them and they might be happy the way they are. How many of us know that in darkness we prefer darkness? And when the light comes, the devil says, no, 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 go the other way. Because things will have to change. Things will have to change in your life. You can't sit by the road and wear those same garments. You'll no longer have that name anymore. Now this has been a good life for you. I've settled you in here. And you need to stay here. Why do you torment me? The whole church is comfortable with Joe behaving this way. The whole church is comfortable knowing that Susie Q is this way. So we can all laugh about it and talk about it. Oh, and blind Bartimaeus, we sing every Sunday when we come to church. Jesus wants to turn us upside down. Where are you at today? Where are you at today? That's what he wants to know. Are you tormented? Are you blind? Are you defiled? This demon-possessed man, he needed Jesus. We would all agree. Doesn't upset our apple cart. He needed Jesus. No man could help him. Do you understand? No man could help him. No Sigmund Freud, no one could help him. No advice could save him. And no prescription could give him relief. And no institution could comfort him. Jesus came. And Jesus saw. And Jesus delivered. This is the Jesus that I have committed my life to. This is the Jesus in whom I have trusted. He has not changed. You know what's changed, folks? Church. What a sad, sad sight. If you look out here and you see all of these empty chairs because there are those who are tormented and who are running everywhere else looking for another name for salvation. There are those who are defiled and they're looking for another name. Put another name on it and I can be saved. There are those who are so blind. Jesus delivered. And when this man was delivered, the only thing he had to say, look at verse 38. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, verse 39, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and he proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. It was the only thing that he could do. The only thing he could do was tell what Jesus had done for him. He went out proclaiming. Do you know what it means to proclaim? It means what I'm doing here today. I'm proclaiming to you this Jesus. I'm proclaiming to you the great things that he has done. As I was before the Lord, God was reminding me. He was reminding me. Sometimes we get so puffed up in this walk with the Lord. The longer we walk with the Lord, we tend to forget the pit from which we came. We forget this place. And God was reminding me. You know, where I am today is not where I was yesterday. And it's not where I was 10 years ago or where I was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. But where I am today. Where I am today. And it's because of what he's doing in my life. And what he does in my life. And what he will do in my life. And the goodness of God. He came and he saw me. It wasn't because I was out looking for Jesus. We just don't go out looking for Jesus. But he came and he saw me and he said, this girl needs deliverance. She needs saving. And he brought me to himself. And so what can I do? What can I do but proclaim who he is and what he has done? This man had been delivered from many demons. And when he had his right mind and when he was able to see Jesus, what was his greatest desire? My greatest desire would just to be at the feet of Jesus. That's my greatest desire. That was his greatest desire. But Jesus said, no, I need for you to go and I need for you to preach. That's what it means to proclaim. I need for you to go and to preach. I need those who will go and who will tell. Go and tell. Let's look at Luke 23. Luke 23. Verses 39 through 43. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Have you lived your life? Have you lived your life your way? Have you done things your way? And now the end is near? And you know what you deserve. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day of your salvation. Ask Him to remember you and confess your sins, and He is just to forgive you. Are you at the end today? Is there someone that you know who's at the end? Be like the demon-possessed man and go and proclaim. Where are you today? Isn't it amazing? Jesus was hanging on the cross, and as a man, He was suffering. As a man, He was suffering. Not only was He dying for the sins of the world, but while He was there, He was recognized by this thief, and He called out to him, and He says, "You'll be with me." Where are you at today? Let me ask you something. Do you think you have no need of Jesus? Do you think, I'm just so tired. I wish He would just be quiet. I've heard this all before. You know, I've been in church all my life. My parents raised me in church. I go to church, you know. I'm just tired of this. Turn back to Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 9. Also He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, "God, I thank You that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I possess." Are you a Pharisee? Do you have no need? Is your trust in yourself? Is your trust in your own righteousness? Do you think you're right? Or do you trust in your deeds? I would dare to say that this may be the majority of the problem with the church world, is that we trust in ourselves. We trust in our own problems. We trust in what we can do. It's the name of Jesus. It's that name. Not in what we can do. How many of us here today desire to have revival in your heart? No one? We have a few. If we did have revival in our hearts, things would have to change, wouldn't they? Priorities would have to change, wouldn't they? God would come in and upset our apple cart. Today is the day of salvation. How many of us have called on the name of Jesus for our saving? How many of us believe that there is no other name other than the name of Jesus? How many of us believe that this is all there is? How many of us desire more? If you desire more, what does that mean to the Lord? If you desire more, it means that He will give you more. But if He gives you more, then what's going to happen with you? In order for Him to put more in, there has to be less of you. In order for Him to give you more, then you have to give Him more of you. And so if He requires more, what does that mean? Then there's going to be less of me, less of what I want, less of what I desire, less of what my plans are. For those who've accepted the Lord, those who've come and received that salvation, God desires to do more in your life. He desires to give you more than just this. That you would be like the demon-possessed man. That you would know from where you have come. And you so love Him so much that you want to be with Him, but yet He says, no, you need to go and you need to tell the people about Me. And maybe that's where we struggle, in telling the people about Jesus. Where are you at today? That's what the Lord wants to know. Where are you at today? Are you blind? Are you a sinful woman or man? Are you tormented? Are you at the end? Are you a Pharisee and have no need? That's the question for you. That's the question for us today. God is ready, and He's waiting, and He desires. He has what we need, and He is capable. And with Him, all things are possible. As we close out today, I want us to take some time before we leave. I want us to think about where we are today. I want you to think about where you are and where you desire to be with the Lord. The desire of every pastor is to see revival in the heart of the people. See people who love God, who are excited about the things of God. Do you want to see God deliver those who are tormented? So that He can turn our apple cart upside down? Do you want to see those whom the world says is defiled come to the Lord and be washed clean, and that we may embrace? I dare to say that most of us, the world would not have given a wooden nickel for. Probably would have looked at us and said, why waste your time with those? Look at that lot. Jesus did. He came to us, and He rescued us. I want us to take some time as we close out this service to answer the Lord. I'm not asking you to answer me. I come to you today as just a servant of the Lord with a question from the Lord God Almighty. Where are you today? Where are you today? And do you want to be there tomorrow? Do you want to be tomorrow where you are today? I don't. I don't want to be there. I want to see God do the things that He has done since time began. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I change not. He doesn't change. to see those who are in love with Jesus and who are willing to proclaim. Now, am I saying everybody's got to go out and preach? But I'm saying you have to be able to say who He is and talk about the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the love of God. Let's just take some time, I think. Just take some time. If you want to get on your knees where you are, if you want to go to the altar, altar's open. If you want to stand, stand. But I'm asking that if no one would leave just yet, let's just wait on the Lord. Let's wait on the Lord. Take a minute and wait on God.
Thank you for giving your life just for me. is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. Yes, and I thank you. Thank you.
And I
anyone here today who needs prayer for healing, just invite you to come. This is today. Today, if you need healing, I don't want you to come and have your eyes on me. I don't want you to come thinking here that I would pray. But it's the Lord. You have faith and you believe in Him and you trust in Him. We stand in agreement. So if there's anyone who needs healing today,
thy faith.